The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
This is the Fixer Sciatica Podcast.
Let's talk about sciatic nerve flossing. What is it? How does it help? Why does it help? Or why is it so important? And also, what is the research saying about the effect of this technique? And if you're listening to this, you've probably seen sciatic nerve flossing on various different YouTube videos, TikToks, Instagram videos, talking about the magical power of this technique when you are dealing with unresolvable sciatica. And the reason why I think this is so important is because you'll see this information out on the internet and then you'll try it yourself. And it's like, okay, here's this magic trick, this magic thing that you're going to be doing to treat your sciatica pain, which is going to be sciatic nerve flossing. And you do it and it makes your symptoms worse. What do you do then? Are you a failure? Are you not a normal sciatica case? And quite the contrary. Sciatica itself is going to be a very unique, independent experience. There's going to be very similar causes, whether it be a disc irritation, arthritis, or some sort of tight muscle that is pulling your body out of alignment. But the key is understanding that when you're implementing a tool, some of them may work, some of them might not. And if they don't work on you, it's not that you are in fact a failure. It is due to the fact that that tool, that technique is built specifically not for your current condition. So on occasion, you'll see some episodes where I'll actually take a deep dive into the research behind various different modalities. And it's going to be kind of expanding not just sciatica pain, but you'll hear me talk about various other different tools as well and the effectiveness. I think it's important for us to see what the current research is going on. So I like to take a deep dive into the research. If you'd like to do some of the research on your own, one thing that you can actually do is type in whatever tool you're actually looking for, also the word sciatica. But then if you want to find out the scientific research, you type in the letters N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie, B as in boy, I in Google. And what's going to be really cool is that you'll often find a bunch of articles that will actually say, hey, we studied this tool for sciatica pain. Did it work? Did it not? Read the abstract if you'd like, and then also take a deep dive into the notes. And say, for example, if you are not up to date, you can go ahead and continue to listen to episodes like this. And that way we can educate you and make things a little bit more sensible. So let's hop right into it. What is nerve flossing itself? Nerve flossing is really defined as actually moving the nerves throughout the body. The nerves are part of the nervous system, which composes of your brain and the nerves that actually exit out your spine, specifically the sciatic nerve. And again, sciatica is actually going to be irritation of the sciatic nerve. And that just describes the symptom presentation, but doesn't necessarily talk about the cause. And so what ends up happening is that when you have an irritated nerve, there's going to be a lot of irritation and inflammation that's going on. When you're having inflammation, there's going to be a lot of blood flow to the area focusing on inducing healing. But in some cases, the inflammation is going to be the source of the pain. The theory is that when you are experiencing irritation amongst nerve and inflammation, it can create what we like to say sticky, quote unquote, sticky nerves, which prevents that nerve from actually moving within the human body itself. When you stretch or move a muscle, the thing is that it's not just the muscle that moves in the body, it's going to be the blood vessels, the nerves, the fascia, and the skin. There's a lot of components that actually move when you are actively moving a muscle or a joint. And so with nerve flossing, specifically sciatic nerve flossing, we are theorizing, we are suspecting that the sciatic nerve is having some sort of kink in the area of inflammation, which because of that kink and it doesn't move very well, you are going to have a sensitive and painful nerve, which can radiate from your back down the back of your leg into your foot. And again, I have to clarify that if you have pain in your buttock is not going to be irritation of the sciatic nerve itself. It's going to be irritation of the gluteal nerves, which still also come from the back. So the management is still very similar, but it is important for you to just understand that even if you have pain in your buttock, it's not going to be the sciatic nerve itself. So from there, how does sciatic nerve flossing help? Now, in flossing itself, we have two specific techniques. We have one which is called tensioners, and then the other one which we call sliders. Tensioners is going to be truly adding tension to the system. And how do you add tension to a system? You add tension to a system by simply stretching it. And so I want you to envision that the nerves start all the way up in your brain, travels down your back, exits out your low back, and then travels into your hip underneath your butt muscle, specifically the piriformis, travels down the back of your leg, crosses your knee, travels down your calf, branches out into the foot, as well as the front of the lower leg. So when you hear the term flossing or sliders, and you'll see this on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok as well, you often assume one of two positions. You often assume position number one, which is what we call the slump position. That's where you're going to be a little bit more upright. You're going to be sitting on your sit bones. From there, in some cases, you might be putting your hands behind your back. You're going to round your back, so it's kind of like you're in a C shape. And then you are going to kick your leg and foot up towards the ceiling till you feel a stretch, and then back down. And then you can kick that leg and stretching out that sciatic nerve. You can also look down every time you kick up, which also stretches out that nerve a little bit more. That's going to be position number one. Again, you're going to be sitting in more of a C shape. The second position is actually going to be laying on your back, where you are laying on your back. Your head is flat on the ground or slightly supported. You're going to take the affected side and you're going to put your hands underneath your thighs. You're going to kick your foot up towards the ceiling, lift your head as you kick your foot up. And then as you lower your head, your foot comes down as well. So as you can see, we're in the same C position, but we're just rotating 90 degrees. Instead of having to sit, we're in fact laying on our backs. And the tensioners, the goal is to actually stretch, put tension on the system, and then release, stretch on the system and release. I personally believe that the tensioners are a very stimulating technique. So if your pain is quite sensitive, I would often advise people avoid the tensioner as the pain is at its elevated point, because in some cases, a technique like this can actually set things off. This episode is brought to you by the Patient Advocate Program. Are you tired of not having support between your rehab sessions? Introducing the Patient Advocate Program, and we're focused on your recovery, and we're offering you 24/7 access to a doctorate of physical therapy. Stop waiting in line to be seen and stop spending hours doing long exercise programs. Imagine being able to get all of your care delivered straight to your phone. Best of all, it's affordable. We believe everyone deserves top-notch relief without breaking the bank. So why wait? Take control of your health today and visit PTPatientAdvocate.com and book your free call with our experts. The other technique is what we call the slider. And what is the nerve slider? It's in fact, we are sliding the nerves through the tissues. So instead of trying to apply tension on both ends of the system by flexing your neck and kicking your leg out, it's going to be moving one part of the system at a time. So I want you to envision, if you're sitting in that C shape, when you're doing a slider, you are going to be kicking your leg up as you sit more upright, and then you're going to bend your knees as you round your back and bring your head down to the floor. And what you're going to notice is, just like dental floss, where you're sliding that dental floss in and out of your teeth, that's what's happening with the sciatic nerve. We're sliding in the tissues itself versus pulling tension on the tissues. We apply the slider technique when you're on your back by putting your hands underneath the leg that you're going to stretch. And then from here, your head is going to be down as you kick up towards the ceiling. And then you raise your head as you lower your leg. Again, we are moving and sliding the sciatic nerve throughout the system. And if you are dealing with sciatica pain, something that's a little bit more on the sensitive side, a gentle slider might be helpful, because it might restore the motion and improve the blood flow. The term that we often talk about in physical therapy is called neurodynamics. How do your nerves actually interact with the structures around your body, but also how does it move within the body surrounded by the blood vessels, the muscles, and the other nerves themselves? And so why is this so important? Again, it's really theorized that when it comes to trying to apply the nerve flossing, or whether it be sliders or tensioners, is that there's a lot of tension or some sort of dysfunction that is happening along the nervous system. And for some reason, there's a kink in the system that needs to be worked out. And so in order for us to do that, we need to provide what we call graded exposure, a gentle movement in and out of the motion to allow that nerve to break free or to become a little less sensitive to the stimuluses across, right? So we're going to talk about a little bit more from an application standpoint and also some considerations, but let's take a deep dive into the research and see what the research actually says about the effectiveness of this technique. And the really cool thing is that I'm going to talk about three different articles. Two of them are actually going to be more trials. They're going to do controlled trials. So they're going to compare the nerve flossing versus not doing anything or doing like a standard exercise program. And then the third article is actually going to be what we call a systematic review, where we're actually going to be going over a multitude of articles and trying to get some sort of generalized idea from there. And so all the links to the research I'm talking about will be found in the show notes. So the first study was actually focusing is trying to identify, does nerve flossing or self-mobilization techniques of the sciatic nerve, can it actually help with physical function and help and health of patients with low back pain and lower limb radiating pain, which is in essence an irritation of the sciatic nerve. They actually did show that it was in fact effective and improved range of motion, improved their function as well. And they actually said that it was a marked improvement. And so when I was reading this, a couple questions I wanted to figure out was, one, what were the conditions as to what they were comparing this to? And then also number two, what were the limitations to this article itself? And how can we use this to actually further the research?
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1.
Medications require eligibility and prescription. Patients on 15 milligrams of tirzepatide had an average of 21% weight loss in a 72-week clinical trial when paired with diet and exercise. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
Search, but also how can we use this to help us figure out, identify, will sciatic nerve flossing actually be applicable to our daily practice? And so number one, the only big limitation that I've identified in this article was the fact that it was 30 subjects. And so it's a very, very small sample size. And whenever you have a very small sample size, it's hard to actually identify, is this going to be applicable to the greater population. And I do believe that this article took place overseas. I think it was probably somewhere in Asia. So also, we have to take into account everyone's perception of pain as well. But they tried to standardize or try to control as many factors as possible. The conditions on this was we had stabilization exercises plus neuromobilization, which is going to be those nerve flossing, or stabilization exercises only. So it was great to be able to see, you know, we have the baseline level of stabilization exercise, and then we add the neuromobilization on top of it to see, wasn't there in fact improved range of motion and also improved function? And that's what this article showed. Another challenge with this first article was that they didn't really give us a dosage in regards to how much they did over how many lengths, over the length of time. Because with any sort of exercise or with any sort of technique, we have to figure out, well, how much is enough? How much is too much? What is the number? What are the parameters of what we're operating on, right? And so that's what actually got me really attracted to the second article, was identifying that they did 6 sessions over 2 weeks. So you're looking at 3 sessions a week. They have a little bit more of a patient low. So we're looking at about 78 patients. Unfortunately, 27 of those patients actually didn't follow through with the study. And again, this is going to be the second program. And they were comparing sliders. Again, that's actually going to be moving the nerve throughout the system. The tensioners, which is going to be applying tension to the system, or none at all. And really the focus is really trying to figure out, well, is this technique going to be helpful versus doing nothing at all? And what was really interesting was the fact that, again, this article did show that there was an improvement compared to doing nothing at all. And again, like for the most part, doing an activity is going to be better than no activity. And that's one of the reasons why the research has really supported that active rest doesn't really do much when it comes to recovery. Yeah, you know, you're probably, you know, if you're experiencing an acute bout of pain, 75 to 85% of you will actually recover within about 3 months of not doing anything, but that's often because of just the natural tissue healing process. But if you're at this point of listening to this episode, then you've probably been dealing with sciatica beyond the 3 month standpoint. So we truly need to understand what is going on. And that was another thing, as well as going through this research, is trying to figure out, are these people dealing with chronic sciatica pain again past the 3 month window, or are they dealing with more so acute? Because acute situations will manage from a protection standpoint, improving comfort, addressing from a movement modification standpoint. And again, a lot of tissues will heal within that 12-week mark. And the last and final article that we went over is a systematic review. It's a little bit higher up on the tier when it comes to the ranking of evidence. And it really was looking at more so, how are all these studies talking about how important or how effective is nerve gliding? And what they did find was the fact that there are, in fact, pretty decent outcomes when it comes to implementing the sciatic nerve floss, whether it be a tensioner or slider, into a daily sciatica pain program. The limitation with this was that they identified that there were a lot of studies that actually didn't have very good quality studies. And the highest quality of studies were very few and far between. And so what does that mean in the grand scheme of things, right? Well, number one, we know that treating pain is a challenge. And the reason why treating pain is a challenge is that, unlike treating something like diabetes, where we actually have lab values to be able to say, okay, well, if we implement this medication, the lab value should go down, we know that pain in itself, again, is an independent experience. And if we know that, it already makes research challenging to try to create these generalizations, because of the fact that if everyone's pain is independent, trying to find a cure-all for everyone is going to be challenging, because everyone has their own set of beliefs, lifestyles, and also just how they move and interact with the world. So it is, in fact, very important for you to consider, yes, this might help, again, for the person who's right next to you who's dealing with the same pain, but it might not necessarily work for you. But the good news is that the general consensus is that sciatic nerve flossing, not only can it be safe, but it can also be effective in improving sciatica pain in general. So here are some things to consider that I think are very important when it comes to helping you consider, is this something that you need to implement, or could you implement into your life? Number one, we need to actually identify, do you actually want to stretch an already hot and sensitive nerve? Now, one study throughout all these research articles are about 3 months or less. The challenge with something about like 3 months or less, really the idea is that we're focusing on protection. So trying to stretch something out when things are acutely irritated is actually not recommended. So I recommend that if you just freshly started dealing with sciatica pain, the first thing that you should not be doing, is not nerve gliding. So that's going to be number one. And again, we talked about, if you're dealing with pain for less than 3 months, most of the time you're going to heal without doing anything. It's usually the people who are dealing with pain 3 months or more, that's where we have to get a little bit of a better idea of what are the solutions, what do we need to do to get out there. Number three, I think it's the most important part, is actually trying to understand, why was the nerve irritated in the first place? This is under the guise, like with the use of sciatic nerve flossing, it's under the guise that the nerve actually was just tight and irritated for no reason, and as a result, we have to stretch it out. And unfortunately, that's kind of a lost level of reasoning, because of the fact that, again, things just don't get tight for no reason. It's either due to overuse or underuse or positioning or some sort of trauma. So we have to identify, why is this going to be happening in the first place? We know that neuromobilization, nerve flossing, is going to be addressing the nerve itself. It's going to calm the nerve down. Sure, absolutely. But if your pain is caused by arthritis, nerve gliding is not going to improve your arthritis or improve the areas of which the arthritis is going to be irritating your sciatic nerve. And how do you know that? Arthritis often presents itself in the spine, which presents with stiffness. But also, if you're dealing with something like a foraminal stenosis, it's going to be painful when you're arching backwards, and it's going to be more relieving when you round forward and open up your spine. So being able to identify, okay, well, what's the cause of your pain? Is the sciatic nerve flossing going to be truly addressing the cause of the pain, or is it just going to allow that sciatic nerve to just tolerate a little bit more? And maybe a little bit of both, but you have to understand, what are the other pieces to it? And especially what this has shown is the fact that sciatic nerve flossing is a great tool to be able to help out with pain relief in sciatica related pain, but it's just a tool. And unfortunately, a tool is not going to fix everyone. I think one of the challenges, especially as we're working with practitioners who are very strong on a specific set of tools, they think that they have a hammer and then everything is a specific nail. But the truth is that you're going to need a hammer, you're going to need a screwdriver, you're going to need all of these various different tools. And it's going to be our job as clinicians to identify at what point do we need to use the tool to help our clients, right? And then the last thing to consider is actually dosage. There's really no consensus on dosage. How many times a day do you do it? How many times do you do it? Or how often, right? One of the articles actually showed that you did it 3 times a week. So do you need to do it every single day? Or some people say you need to do it every single day. My recommendation from a dosage standpoint is that if you do the Nerf, well, my take on any sort of dosage, tool, or activity, when you are in active state of pain, every single one of your actions should be on actually reducing your pain. So I usually start with a set of 10 repetitions. And here's the thing. If you do 10 repetitions of a floss, a tensioner, or any other exercise, if that makes your pain go away, we know that this is the activity that will put the fire out. What that means is if it's putting the fire out, you only use it when there is a fire. You do not have to do this 3 to 4 times a day if you are not dealing with pain. So that is going to be number one. Number two, when this activity becomes less effective, when you do the Nerf floss and it doesn't change your pain, then might not be necessarily the activity for you, but you can experiment with that, learning a little bit more repetitions. And then the third option is if you do this activity and it actually makes your pain worse, this is a huge indicator in telling you that you do not need to add this into your program. So again, it's important that when you are in active state of pain, every action that you do should be focusing on reducing that pain or getting rid of it. Once you do that, we can then address, okay, let's build up the strength. Let's build up the movement capacity to make sure it doesn't come back. But it is important that when you're in active state of pain, we got to calm the nervous system down and reduce the pain. And as the research just says, something like sciatic nerve flossing can be helpful. It's not the first tool that I will use, but it is in fact a tool that I use a fair amount with the patients. And I find also pretty good outcomes with that. So this is going to be one of many episodes that talks about the various different research of the various different tools that are out there. Want to be able to share this information with you so you go into your sessions feeling empowered and knowing what you can deal with and being the advocate for yourself. If you need help trying to actually solve these issues on your own, check out our patient advocate program. It's a great way to work directly with me where I can answer all your questions and actually help you out navigating this entire world of pain management at a fraction of the time and a fraction of the cost. So check it out, ptpatientadvocate.com, and you'll see the link in the show notes. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you got some help from today's podcast. And for more info, check us out at ifixyoursciatica.com. Have a fantastic and pain-free day. No patient-therapist relationship is formed by listening to this podcast. We are not providing medical advice, and all information should be confirmed by a medical provider.